Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? The one, the only, Brian Rails. Who the fuck else? Now, we hit over 5,000 listens. So, that's not the point of the entire evening. But it is kind of an eyebrow raiser.
Hey, yo, Chico.
Anyways, tonight, I guess they did tapings or show a production of NXT TakeOver, what was to be. It started off with a bang, the women's ladder match, featuring Io Shirai, Tegan Nox, Dakota Kai, Chelsea Green, and Candice LeRae. So, that match was extremely crazy. Oh, and Mia Yim, sorry. That match was extremely crazy. Bodies strewn all over the goddamn place, including I saw a lot of, not a lot of high spots, but just a lot of people landing on tables, landing on ladders, use of a chair, Raquel Gonzalez getting involved, or, well, trying to help Dakota Kai, and then also Robert Stone, Chelsea Green's advocate, if you will, trying to get his himself involved in the match. Chelsea couldn't even stand on 2 feet, and, you know, Robert Stone getting involved, you know, nice angle there, right? So, the winner of the match, though, because she's the aggressor and always has been, Io Shirai, the genius of the sky. She's now the new number one contender for Charlotte Flair's NXT Championship. And the reason, folks, for that being, I don't know if you've read anywhere, but Rhea Ripley, her work visa expired, so she's back in Australia. And I don't know if WWE officials are trying to get her to come back just for a little bit, which would be kind of pointless, even though she's back in Australia. So, long story short, the new number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship is the genius of the sky, Io Shirai. Now, will that affect a lot of things? Who knows? All I do know is that match was extremely crazy. Dakota Kai at the last, you know, blast. Tegan knocked off the apron. She did. Yeah, Raquel Gonzalez got chokeslammed into or onto a table. Then you see Dakota Kai, Queen of Kicks, kick Tegan Nox off the apron. And then Robert Stone tried to climb up the ladder. And then all you see is him and Chelsea get landed on the top rope. Out they go, Io Shirai and Candice LeRae. Candice got the worst of an idea. She landed on a ladder that was in between or on laying in the middle rope. Turnbuckle. And yowza! Io Shirai, queen of the sky, is now facing the queen herself. Is Charlotte Flair the new Ric Flair. Who knows? I mean, she's won the NXT Championship now twice. She's won the Raw Women's Championship 5 times and the SmackDown Live Women's Championship 5 times. So that's 12 titles. She's getting there. She is getting there. So, let me see here. Okay. Let's see here. Takeover match. Do-do-do-do-do-do. See, it's pretty sad. Yeah, it was to take place April 4th. I believe they did film. It was postponed due to the coronavirus. Yes, we know that. So I guess the main matches were the women's ladder match. There's a tag team match that really didn't really accentuate anything. But the Quebecers or whatever. Something Mauro Ranallo said about the Quebecers, and I know... Yeah, they lost to the team that beat the crap out of Matt Riddle. So, Gargano and Ciampa, that was the main event that took forever and a day because of the cartoons. The commercials. So, that match, I'm going to focus on stuff that I just paid attention to. So, they showed Finn Balor versus Alexander Wolf. 1916 suplex was able to occur and happen. You know why? Because Imperium was booted away from ringside. Balor ends up winning the match fair and square. 1, 2, 3. Now, I don't know, folks, when all this shit's going to be over, but I do know when the next wrestling event comes to New York, WOW will gladly take the Q train all the way down to Barclays Center or to Madison Square Garden or to wherever there's a fucking wrestling event and cheer and boo till my throat is sore. Because tonight, there was some decent moments, you know, especially tonight's main event. It was basically not my quit match, but it was a no disqualification, falls count anywhere match in an empty arena. And you just bear with me for a minute. Just for the microphone. My voice is loud and booming enough to make the point. So, we'll just pause for station identification right here on Off the Rails Uncensored. Dig it.
I've got the look that drives the girls wild. I've got the move that really move them. I said chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy.
I'm back. Sorry for the extreme delay. But the match between Ciampa and Gargano, minus, you know, female involvement, I would compare it to main roster's Edge and Orton. It would have worked better if Orton and Edge had an audience with it. Because, dear Lord, it was so hard to pay attention to some of Gargano and Ciampa's match. It was a decent ending. I know I remember sitting telling myself it wasn't a bad ending. You know that there was going to be something at the end that was going to happen. Say Gargano and Ciampa always has the M. Night Shyamalan twist to it, except for some people are not like, what in the fuck just happened? Kind of twist, you know? And sometimes what I've seen from a Gargano-Ciampa match makes you wonder, okay, what can these two do to make you think, holy fuck, this shit's actually going to go down. Okay, cool.
I didn't really think, you know, TakeOver was going to, well, I should say NXT was going to do so well, you know, even without an audience, but they did. And the effort that was given tonight, especially in those two matches, the women's ladder match and Gargano Ciampa at the end, which took a lot out of the two. And then the whole Candice pretending to kick her husband in the balls with a cup. That was a stroke of genius. I mean, you have to admit, when you add some elements of surprise in professional wrestling, it helps push the feud along. Hopefully, folks, and I say hopefully, there'll be a time when we can go back to an audience and make you know, the most of our situation. So, focus on tonight was the women's ladder match, Gargano and Ciampa. The other highlights was Finn Balor versus Alexander Wolf. I have a feeling this is taped and it wasn't live. And if it was live, my apologies, misled you with information. But now, aside from the rambling rant that goes on and on and on, I'm going to tell you right here, right now, I'm thankful for the distractions that WWE and AEW have given to all of us. I'm sure that people are going to say, well, AEW was better. They had a night full of matches and, you know, everyone and their mother's brother was watching their show. I don't care at this point. I'm not drawing battle lines. I'm watching fucking professional wrestling. That's all I really care about. So, while I pull up the results for AEW, because I don't... Okay, there's a tournament, really? How many fucking tournaments does AEW have? It may sound like a whiny bitch complaining about shit that's out of my control. I told you, I'm not drawing battle lines. I'm just honestly being blunt about what I think. AEW results, news and after Cody advances in the TNT title tournament. Why? Why is there a tournament? Why can't you just say, we're going to have this style match, you know, at the end of tonight, this is going to be the number one contender. So, so the ratings have dropped, you know, because April 1st, 685,000. Pretty sure it's more than NXT. But 819,932,766 on March 11th. And March 4th was 906,000. That's still a lot of viewers. Yeah, of course they're going to point out that AEW Dynamite garnered 685,000 viewers because, duh, Matt Hardy's now involved. So, it was a vignette-heavy show. Can you blame them? I mean, look, there's not a lot you can do without an audience. But you know what's cool about this is both companies are not pretending, but they are imagining if there were an audience, what should we do? Okay, so Moxley defended his world championship against Jake Hager. Then you had a lot of hype videos about Matt Hardy challenging the Inner Circle for the Elite deletion as AEW dips its toe in cinematic wrestling water. Okay. Shawn Spears got beat by Cody Rhodes. So that was AEW's night. So it wasn't that much different than WWE. And usually it's reversed. Usually WWE does a lot more vignettes and hype videos and teaser videos and whatnot. But I just want to point this out. It's difficult to come up with a show with no audience. But the funny part is, AEW is still somehow, some way, producing more viewership than NXT. I gotta, you know, just point this out for shits and giggles, but how is that humanly possible? When AEW stories are not very consistent, because when the fuck did Moxley and Hager start disliking each other? I guess it doesn't matter. But what matters most is, okay, you have a story. You know the Elite hates the Inner Circle. But Moxley is just a rogue, so he's just by himself, right? Quite understanding some of the shit that AEW does when it comes to presenting, you know, this feud. Okay, let's present a feud, shall we? I'm not, like, really understanding the whole thing. The fact that, you know, Moxley defends his world title, and then, you know, the main event's a non-title match. Woo, difference, right? WWE has a last man standing slash pinfall, or no, it's like falls count anywhere, no DQ. Candice interferes. So, shall we? There's no title match at all in WWE. There's a title match in AEW. AEW is edging out WWE in ratings because fill in the blanks, man. They have intrigue, interest of fan base because of why? A lot of hype videos, you know, Matt Hardy. And he's challenging the number one heel faction in AEW. And that would be too many cooks in the kitchen, the Inner Circle. Don't get me wrong, folks. I love Chris Jericho, and I loved how they just let him loose back in the day in WWE when it came to promos and expressing oneself and whatnot. And that was great. That was all fine and, you know, fun and games. We used to make fun of Stephanie McMahon when he used to make fun of practically everyone in the WWE locker room. But him now in AEW is doing great stuff as well. It's just, I'm saying, there are bits and pieces that makes one think, eventually, what will happen to the audience that pines for AEW? I guarantee you they're still going to pine for them. I guarantee you there's still going to be people that sit in the seats and not caring about what's going on. You know, they're not going to say, well, this match was terrible because it didn't have this angle or it didn't have this kind of grappling or whatever. Different fans, different likes. All I'm saying is, from my vantage point as a podcast host, or I like the term or phrase broadcast journalist, AEW, there's a lot of fill in the blanks. There's a lot of missing pieces to the puzzle. And also, way too many fucking factions. Way too many. There's an overflow. There's the Elite. There's the Inner Circle. There's Dark Order. Then there's Karma and Brandi Rhodes' group. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be another group of females because, oh yeah, nothing says faction like the Dark Order and the Exalted One. You know what? I'm not surprised in some areas because it just reminds me of the Inner Circle and the Elite. NWO, Wolfpack, NWO, Black and White, anyone? The same concept, just different names. There's that. The other thing that seems to really perplex me is, so one night I tuned on when they still had audiences, I turned on, it was Undisputed, Roderick Strong. Let's see who else? Okay, one of the Bob C twins, Kyle O'Reilly, let's say, versus. Oh no, it was Roderick Strong versus Velveteen Dream. Let's go with that one. There we go. And then in the tournament channel, it was AEW's Sammy Guevara and Ortiz or someone versus Dustin Rhodes and Hangman Page. And I don't know. Like, it was hard for me not to just flip back and forth like a maniac. But I got to tell you, this has been bugging me for the longest fucking time. And when everything goes back to normal, I'm still going to drag this point to home. Where in the fuck does AEW train? There's no training facility. Not one. Some of these guys don't need training. They train by themselves or they train individually. I get it. There's no power plant type thing or, in it, you know, at least a facility in which it houses your company and says that where you train. If you're going to say that I don't like AEW, you're right. I'm not a big fan of a company that reminds me of a company that I grew up watching or companies. ECW and WCW combined. A little bit of AWA and a little bit of NWA. Gives you an old school feel, does it? Yeah, with the time limits being said out loud and whatnot. They say, well, how about, you know, Kenny Omega's entrance that one time? Not that I dislike some of the guys and gals in AEW. It's just, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't drink the fucking Kool-Aid that everyone else drinks because it's just like Chiefs fans selling tickets to Viking fans because they thought they were down and out. And if you say you didn't do it, you're a fucking liar. Now I'm getting into football, but I had to use that as an analogy because certain fans are just like, well, I was tired of the scene in WWE, so I switched to AE Dubs. Now I've got myself talking about the fandom line. Why? Because it's important to know I got a half and half split on Wrestle_Radio on Instagram. I got a half and half split on a Facebook poll. I mean, I'm having fun, guys, discussing professional wrestling. And you know why? Because tonight, there's some things I noticed on both shows. One, you know, did something they normally don't do, and that's a lot of talking. The other one did something they don't normally do. Actually, they do, but some, you know, have involvement of promos and whatnot, what have you. So I guess it was opposite day in the world of professional wrestling. But you know what? I'm glad because all of this provided a distraction. A certain kind of distraction in which all of us as wrestling fans can appreciate. And we're allowed to critique because, well, I guarantee you some of us have been quarantined. I haven't been working. I've been, well, one of the ones on the front line, not as a medical professional, but as a grocery worker. And I got to say, I'm glad that I can rewatch the first card of WrestleMania and the second card. Kind of, sort of, fun thing about this. Whenever you tune in to USA Network or when you tune in to TNT, it's so surreal as a longtime wrestling fan to see no one in the audience. No one even, you know, booing or cheering. The one time that AEW actually put a bunch of guys in the ring, you know, it makes sense. Betting on a match, using dirty money during this virus time, very smart, right? I just want to point out that, you know, when this goes back to complete normal or whenever that is, I think all of us have started realizing as wrestling fans, we appreciate the loud. We appreciate the presence that a wrestler or wrestlers can bring. So we, all of us, despite my negativity just now toward AEW, I'm being honest because I'm tired of holding it in. And part of the reason that I kind of just point things out about AEW is because, yes, they have a lot of guys that have experience, that have been through the grind, that have been through the bullshit, that have taken their experiences and made better things or better situations for themselves. However, there's certain things that have been said between both, you know, both sides that have caught my attention. And can I quote word for word from when AEW first started a couple of years ago? Yes. Yes, I can. Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho and a few others have partnered up to, you know, build this giant powerhouse of a new company. They brought all of the former associates in WWE and said, oh, we're not going to be WWE heavily saturated with that former company. Not heavily saturated. About 12 to 14 members of your roster are from WWE formerly. Billy Gunn. Let's see here. Sean Spears. Arn Anderson. Dean Malenko. Taz at one point. But Taz is original from ECW. You've got Cody Rhodes. You've got Jake Hager. Omega was once upon a time in WWE for a brief spell. You've got Luke Harper, Matt Hardy. There's just not enough evidence, right? When I said 12 to 14, I'm pretty, oh, Britt Baker, Karma, Chaz. Oh, yeah, the list keeps filling up, doesn't it, folks? Oh, man, a sigh of relief because I'm getting it all out in the open, folks. I feel. I'm sure others may disagree, but that's not what I care about. I care about presenting honesty in this line of work. If we're not honest as a broadcast journalist, then how the fuck are we supposed to do our shit? Just a nice little food for thought, right? Right? A half hour or less, why? It's that time that if you have kids under the age of 14, I suggest that you put cotton in their ears and do the best you can to turn them away from this show because this content is not suitable for minors under the age of 14. It is offensive, crude language, using words such as fuck, goddammit, shit, pieces of crap, such a bad swear, assholes, douche canoes, douche nozzle, twat bag. Okay, the point is this content of this show uses offensive and abusive language that is not suitable for the minors under the age of 14. Off the Rails and Censored is a copyrighted podcast. Any further use of the term or phrase Off the Rails and Censored, you will be fined $45 per use of the phrase and words. Off the Rails and Censored is a copyrighted podcast. March 7, 2016. It uses vulgar expressions regarding professional wrestlers and wrestling. If you get offended by it, that is not, I do not guarantee you will be mentally sound afterwards. So, for those of you fuckers who want to buckle the fuck up and join the party inside my head, well, suggest you put on that seatbelt, strap in tight, because you fuckers are about to go through one hell of a fucking roller coaster. Monkeys in the truck, hit my music. Hit. Look in my eyes. Okay, so title of tonight's show is The Distraction That Is Pro Wrestling. Thank you. Because without professional wrestling, I and others who do this shit for a part-time living would not have anything to talk about. So, amidst the virus bullshit that's going on, and amidst the people who are not listening, you are the reason why the rest of us are not able to watch any kind of show, not just wrestling. And I don't went over this like three nights in a row, so I'm just going to say it. Professional wrestling is the one thing that keeps one of many things, aside from sports, and, you know, like I'm talking baseball, football, golf can suck a log. I don't really care for golf. Simply because it's just not a very entertaining sport at all. You walk around hitting the ball, it goes in a hole. All right. I wonder, as I yawn, if any of you felt over the last, you know, few weeks going through this shit, that pro wrestling, whether you love it or hate it, has provided some good entertainment the last few days. I was just thankful that WrestleMania, they carried on the tradition of America the Beautiful, and they showed different highlights of it. So for that, I was pretty happy that they did that. And not just that, but the Undertaker AJ Styles match, probably the best of the night. The rest of it, you know, it may not have been the best, but all the shit that's going on right now, staying inside and working and just going home and just and drinking Airborne and watching professional wrestling and seeing all the other professionals in the business, you know, posting stuff on Twitter. I know that Danny Cage is offering a free week of training if you critique the WrestleMania card or what's going on so far in professional wrestling. You have to look on his official Twitter page at the Danny Cage for Monster Factory on Twitter. It's one of the Twitter handles he has, and, you know, just for sure, find a way to go on there, monsterfactory.com, or actually on the social media link he has on Twitter, on his Facebook. Free week of training. That's how, you know, people are using professional wrestling as a distraction. Once all this shit clears up, it is highly important that you take advantage of what Danny gives to you. Do you know why? Because the man actually fucking cares. He's a genuine human being when it comes to the sport of, you know, professional wrestling. So if you want more information, go to monsterfactory.org. They are not open, but you can look on the website and get more information than I can ever give you. Trust me, I've been through two of his super camps. He and the people that work around him, his students, you guys are fucking amazing. Take time out to actually give you the insight, information that you need to know about becoming a professional wrestler. So visit MonsterFactory.org for more information about this free week of training once all this virus shit goes down. But anyways, not just Danny Cage, but the other professionals in this business that are just trying to give themselves some form of hope. And all the hoping and praying and all the craziness that's going around, professional wrestling is one thing that all of us professional wrestling fans can be thankful for. And how, you know, what specifics am I talking about? Well, the fact that they still held WrestleMania and, you know, they taped it before the lockdown in Florida. I mean, kudos to WWE for doing that. Kudos to a company that I'm not too fond of, and I'll tell you why. There are several things that I would address the positive for now. All of professional wrestling is trying to come together and not really be all that negative and, you know, being at each other's throats. I mean, Taker and Chris Jericho are still good friends. And, you know, there was a tweet from Sami Zayn that I'd like to read to you guys that was during or probably before WrestleMania. So, I'm just going to play this. Okay, you know what? Okay. So, let me read this tweet. It said, Sami Zayn said, "Tomorrow, amid all the chaos that is going on in the world, it's incredible that we have tomorrow to look forward to. There are times when pro wrestling can be more than pro wrestling, and I feel like this is one of those times." There's definitely, you know, creative genius on the first card. It felt really cool, you know, the fact that the first card, doubleheader at WrestleMania, was actually one of the cards that will forever stick out in my mind because of one match. And for me, it was Undertaker versus AJ Styles and the Boneyard match. Wrestling is supposed to tell a story. It's supposed to paint a picture. It's supposed to be a lot of interpretations, up for interpretation. It's like you're in a creative writing class and everyone does something different. Like one person will do poetry, the other person will do a song, the other person will write a book, you know, a miniature series. The beauty about wrestling is it doesn't have to be, when you're interpreting it, it can't just be, oh, this is it, this is wrestling, yada, yada. That's okay. That's fine. But what story are you trying to tell an audience, even though you don't have one to boo or cheer you? That's the part where I start admiring these guys, is because there's no fucking audience. How do you pop the crowd? Oh, wait, there is none. So you have to put in your head, even though there's no audience, we as workers have to tell the audience watching at home, who's quarantining themselves, a story. And for the first time in a while, some people that haven't watched wrestling may have actually tuned in. Or maybe they just played on their Nintendo Switch. Or they were mowing their lawn or whatever the fuck they were doing on that Saturday and Sunday just to relax. So to me, to everyone else that loves professional wrestling, this is a time in which we can still critique, we can still bitch and complain, but the beauty part about it is it's pro wrestling. Just win, baby. I don't think the fans will appreciate, you know, seeing people talk on a microphone, but we'll just appreciate seeing wrestlers, period. I mean, I know Lady Lynn is probably bored out of her fucking mind in Detroit, in Southgate, Michigan, man. Their state is on entire lockdown, and, you know, I message her every once in a great while, talk to her on the phone about how great it is they're still doing professional wrestling, how great it is, you know, there's still a show. Because it is definitely difficult sit there and be like, okay, well, I didn't like this part of the match. I didn't. You're starting to appreciate more shit as fans. We are, if you will, now that we don't have arenas to go to at night to see live shows and they close down everything here. It's starting to get, it's difficult, but you know what? All of us all over the world and all of us that are still doing podcasts, are still doing wrestling shows, Well, not so much more the indies, but you know what? On all levels, it's important that we all remember that the main thing is you want to send a message. You want to play up a story, work some kind of angle, make the fans believe again. So far, it's working. All right, so that was the nicey-nice side of my show. I'm about to go in depth of why, you know, some of you have been asking me on Instagram why I'm not too fond of AEW. Number one, the wrestling that goes on in AEW, it looks very sloppy at times. I can give you examples of sloppy. Darby Allin, Jimmy Havoc. These style wrestlers will tell a different story to you, you know, throughout the match, and they're like, why can't you just be grateful that they're wrestling? Again, I'm not ungrateful that they are. It's just when you have Hangman Page, who is playing up the angle of Diamond Dallas Page, he's a lone wolf. He only goes by himself. He doesn't want the help from others. So in other words, we're going to have another Sting moment. Is someone like Darby Allin going to rescue him in the ring when the Inner Circle is going to come beat the fuck out of him? Three, the only interesting things that go on in AEW was, you know, the whole Matt Hardy, Chris Jericho thing. They're going to lure all of you in and be like, hey, watch what we can do with this angle. Watch what we can do with this feud. They themed an entire show of vignettes, and, you know, maybe the vignettes made sense, but point is, they did something that they said they would never do, and that was, we're not going to talk as much. We're going to actually work a show. Continue on, is all I can say. Despite, you know, like I said, despite my extreme dislike for AEW, they are distracting a lot of people who are, what I like to call them, people who believe in them, or sheep. Because AEW is a new shiny toy, and there are those that watch on TNT. There are those that have a clue about professional wrestling, and if they saw what AEW produces, they would be confused themselves. I'm not just talking about patients who have Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever. I am talking about actual wrestling fans who sit and watch a wrestling show on TNT, you know, or USA, or Fight Network, you know, for New Japan. There are certain things that have really come to my attention that some fans don't recall. Darby Allin doing coffin drops off the top rope looks like he's just drifting for trouble. And I don't mean his coffin drops won't hit, because they already have not hit before. What I'm saying is, a move is a move, and if you want to do a wrestling move, just please keep in mind, you know, be safe. Don't do what those idiots did in Walmart. That kind of looks like some of AEW's wrestling right there. Those guys are not trained, but they're getting a lot of hits. They're getting a lot of video attention. Much like AEW is getting a lot of attention. Is that why I'm mad? No. It's just, when you're trying to remind me of what ECW was, and some fans say, why wouldn't you? I said, because there is a certain flavor to hardcore wrestling and deathmatch wrestling, and there's a certain kind of flavor to cage matches. By certain, you know, different fans are fucking whiny ass bitches that have, there's ridiculous. I am that whiny ass bitch that will sit there and say, I didn't like your match, or I didn't like you. And what I can tell you is, it's starting to get old with the people running their mouths about, this company did this to me, this company did that to me. Shut the fuck up. I would have tuned in to TNT had this nonsensical bullshit of a guy who is, you know, a son of a legend, is sitting there trying to run a company, and he's doing a fine job of it. But could you please, for the love of Christ, keep your trap shut about shit that happened in the past. Yeah, it's kind of funny that they take subtle jabs at Hunter, but at the same fucking token, I do agree with what was said at Hall of Fame in 2019, and that was, yeah, keep chanting that. Keep chanting their names. You know why? Because in 5 years, they will come begging to have a job with WWE. Do you know why? Because now Vince stepped down. So who knows if the company is going to be left up to. But you know what? The fact of the matter is that's so fucking stereotypical when you're trying to make a point in wrestling, right? The point is, when WWE weathers the storm of AEW, all the fans are going to jump to New Japan and Ring of Honor because they're so desperately clinging to the fact that maybe WWE will not change even with Vince gone. Also, I'm going to touch base with one match in particular. Was it even considered just a part of a program if there ever was one? Bray Wyatt, John Cena. Funhouse match. You want to talk about extremely weird. That particular match, or should I say video montage that made no sense. So John Cena went through a funhouse. He also dressed up in his Ruthless Aggression outfit. Then there was a WCW Nitro montage. Highly confused. I did not know. Lady Lynn did not know. We were on the phone with each other. We didn't know what the fuck we just watched. And we said to ourselves, maybe it was a Vince-themed match before he retired. It was the big FU to the fans. I don't think Bray Wyatt's going anywhere anytime soon, and I'm sure that him and John got a kick out of it. But here's the thing. No one knows why they're theme matches. Sometimes the theme matches, you know, like the Falls Count Anywhere, Last Man Standing, Hell in a Cell, why it works. You know why? Because, hey, plain and simple, tell a story. That match, or that event, the vignette, what was it? Was it supposed to be anything special? I don't fucking know. But I would hope and pray that that never happens again. Bray Wyatt's match with Randy Orton inside that house made you think why that's all I'm gonna say on that match. You know, the entire rest of the card was great. It just gives me too much of a headache just thinking, why did we tune in to Bray Wyatt, John Cena? That is a damn good question that I keep pondering. Why? I'm going to leave it at that and just be like, okay, you know what? It was great between Taker and AJ, and I'm going to keep repeating it. Compare and contrast notes of NXT and AEWs. NXT did something they're not usually used to doing. You know, they normally have a night far enough ahead to spread out, you know, promos and matches and have everyone involved. If you notice, Undisputed wasn't involved on that card at all. So there's a lot of shit that people notice, okay? Including myself. So, with that being said, thank you for all the, you know, frontline workers. Thank you for professional wrestling for keeping all of us grounded and me still critiquing like the some bitch I am. Oh, and by the way, what's up, UK, Latvia, Indonesia, Australia? All of you lovely, crazy, chaotic folk, stay safe. That's all I'm going to say is, you know, don't lecture people on hygiene, please. Do not. That's because some of you were nasties as fuck, sticking your finger where the sun don't shine. Okay. All right, so if you didn't like what good old Brian Reynolds had to say, then I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Night-night, bitches. Just to sleep. How about them, man? Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of personality.
A cult of personality, a cult of personality.